Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. So glad you could join us today, and thanks for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Gil Martin here, as I am every Monday, and we have got a very busy show for you today. First, we are joined by Laura Sabo of Locked On Canadiens to discuss the release of Marc Bergevin as the general manager in Montreal. We're also joined by Sarah Avampato, who's going to talk about Brandon Lemieux now facing a suspension after biting an opponent during a fight in the game between the Kings and the Senators over the weekend. And then J.D. Young of Locked On San Jose Sharks joins us as we discuss basically the latest saga in the Evander Kane situation, where Kane has now been placed on waivers by the Sharks. We have all the latest from JD about where he may end up and how the Sharks are doing this season. They are off to a surprisingly good start. So lots to discuss here on the show. Let's get right to it. All right, Gil Martin here. Thank you for joining us on the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Big changes coming in Montreal, the Canadiens letting go their general manager. We are joined now by Laura Sabo, the co-host of Locked On Canadiens, to talk about it. And Laura, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a big weekend in Montreal, a little bit earlier than expected.
Yeah, I would assume. So fill in our listeners. What happened? Because I don't think anyone, look, your team went to the Stanley Cup final this past year. We know your starting goaltender has not played yet this year. I don't know, you know, what was expected of this team that wasn't happening. So fill us in.
So I think what happened was it started right after the Stanley Cup final in the media availability and the season wrap up press conferences that everyone was doing. Somebody asked Marc Bergevin about his contract status and whether talks had begun to renew it, because it's up at the end of this season, or it was up at the end of this season. And he said something to the effect of, I will honor the remaining year in my contract and then we'll see. And that had everybody talking. And he also said something before the Stanley Cup final was, you know, they asked him, like, what would it mean to you as a person or to you in your career if the Canadiens were to win? This was before they even started facing Tampa. And he said, I could retire on this. So it seemed at that time, at that point, that the pressure of this market, the exhaustion of running a team like the Montreal Canadiens, was kind of getting to him. And then you had the disastrous offseason where they picked Logan Mailloux in the draft, in the first round of the draft. And there was a lot of, I think they were not expecting backlash, which should have been the first clue, right? They were not expecting the backlash that they got. He was insistent on that pick and he defended the pick. And then there was some behind the scenes talk about how it wasn't Trevor Timmons' choice. Trevor Timmons also assistant general manager, head of, scouting and development. And he also got fired today along with Marc Bergevin and the head of PR, Patrick Wilson. All of this, like, I think it started from that disastrous offseason. And they did not handle that very well to the satisfaction of their fans, although, you know, they were able to placate their sponsors. And then they allowed a lot of people to leave, such as Corey Perry, who they refused to give him a 2-year contract. They were willing to meet him on money, but they didn't want to give him 2 years. They only wanted to give him 1 year. So he went off to Tampa. That was a big loss. They knew that Shea Weber was playing injured throughout the Stanley Cup final. That was a big loss. They knew he's not coming back, right? It's all unofficial, but clearly he's not coming back. This man, he's very, 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 very injured. And he's got so much recuperating to do. And hopefully, at the very least, like, what we hope is that he's able to rehab so that he can have a good quality of life. But all of that writing was on the wall. And this was even before Carey Price was not going to start the season with the Montreal Canadiens. So you had a lot of leadership depart. You know, they had Philippe Dano, who is a very, very good two-way center, you know, Selke caliber two-way center, also leaving. And part of that was there was some animosity, right? the Canadians apparently leaked news of the contract negotiations early in the season when it wasn't going well. And so that kind of, I believe, made Philippe Dano kind of sour on the organization. And even through that amazing experience of going through the Stanley Cup final with him being so instrumental in that, he still ended up leaving. So there was, you know, there was sort of cracks in the foundation. And what everybody assumed was, all right, Marc Bergevin has 1 year left. It's likely that he's not coming back. There's rumors about what his next position is going to be. People, there was talk about him going to LA and all of that. So everybody just assumed that at the end of the season, there would be a management change. But what happened was the Canadians started the season abysmally. Like, it is terrible. It is the worst first 23-game start in their 111-year history.
Wow.
That literally, they have not had a record this bad through 23 games. So I think that was kind of, you know, that was sort of becoming more and more evident that, you know, Jeff Molson had to do something. People in the market would have been patient if it was an outright rebuild, but they refused to call it that. The team is in disarray on the ice. So obviously, and one of the things that is of note here is that the Canadians never had a president and general manager, president of hockey operations position. It was Jeff Molson, who's the president. And then it was the general manager and who's in charge of hockey operations were both Marc Bergevin. So they didn't have that kind of the Toronto sort of leadership structure where there's Brendan Shanahan and then there's Kyle Dubas and they both do different things and Kyle Dubas answers to Brendan Shanahan, right? There's a plan in place. There's a clear hierarchy, clear leadership structure. There was none of that in Montreal. So a lot of the criticism of Jeff Molson was, why won't you just hire a president of hockey operations, have Marc Bergevin be answerable to somebody, and have him do only the team management part of it? So this was a huge criticism, and Jeff Molson defended himself and his position in 2020. That obviously is no longer tenable. That is how you got to the rumors that they are about to hire Jeff Gorton. And I believe it is now official, and he's going to be joining the team on Tuesday or Wednesday. But in the meantime, obviously, Jeff Molson changed his position. And at the same time, Marc Bergevin had talked about Scott Mellenby being his successor. That's who he had groomed to be his successor as general manager when he left. And see, all that, like, it was clear that he wanted to go, right? So I think it was just a matter of waiting. And so Scott Mellenby was in talks with Jeff Molson. And then Jeff Molson was like, well, I don't think he could be the general manager, but maybe the president of hockey operations. And then he was told that they're going in a different direction. And then they asked permission to speak to Jeff Gorton and Mellenby resigned. And then I think the kicker is that he told people in the media at the start of hockey night in Canada on a Saturday night where the Canadians were playing the Penguins, right? That was what kicked it all off, because if that hadn't come out at that point, then this weekend would probably have taken a few weeks. But not only did he resign, he told people. So then I don't think that Jeff Molson had much of a choice than to, you know, let go or relieve of their duties Marc Bergevin, Trevor Timmins, and Patrick Wilson.
Okay, so can the Canadiens clean up the power structure of their front office? Does this just mean a new person is coming in, or will they actually reorganize the way this chain of command works?
It looks like they're reorganizing it. So what is of note is that Jeff Molson is still calling himself the president, and he's hiring Jeff Gorton as the vice president of hockey operations. So clearly he's having a little bit of trouble letting go on that front. And so, you know, it remains to be seen. I feel like he has to, if he's going to make this hiring, he has to trust the person that he's putting in this position to make the right decisions. He picked this person for a reason. He's had success. You know, he was an interim GM in Boston when they had one of their most successful drafts in history, right? He was instrumental in getting really good players to end up on the New York Rangers organization. They're the ones that came right out and said, all right, we're going to do a rebuild. And the fans bought it. They sold a rebuild. And to be honest, it was a huge shock when he got fired from New York last season. And so I think, you know, and that, you know, we can talk about the ownership in New York, but that's not what we're here to discuss. Right. So I think the person that he's put in the role of president or vice president of hockey operations is somebody who makes good decisions, is somebody who's got a good record, and is somebody who's not, he doesn't come with a whole lot of drama. He's quietly good at his job. So I think that's a really, really good positive for this market. And now it remains to be seen who they decide. But it's clear from the removal of Trevor Timmons that it is an organizational philosophy that they're trying to change. Because not only was he the head scout, then he became VP of player development. Now he's an assistant general manager. Like, his stamp, his mark is all over this organization. He's had some home runs. You know, Cole Caulfield, I think, is going to turn out to be one of them. Carey Price, his most obvious success in Montreal. Those are all Trevor Timmons picks in development. But at the same time, it's time for a change. I think that, you know, the lack of consistent success in Montreal is pretty clear. They've had flashes of fun. We've had flashes of fun. They went to a couple conference finals. They went to the Stanley Cup final, but it's not sustained. I'd rather make the playoffs every year and then, you know, lose in the second round or something like that than not make it year over year over year and not have a future in mind or in on the horizon. So I think this means it's an overhaul.
Laurel, this story is obviously going to continue to develop over time. Where can listeners find your podcast and find you on social media to keep up with this?
We are wherever you get your podcasts. You can find Locked On Canadiens with myself and my co-host Scott Matla. And we're on Twitter at @LO_Canadiens.
All right, Laura Saba, thank you so much for joining us and good luck to you and the Canadiens the rest of the way.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you, Laura. Great to have her here. It's such a crazy time right now for the Montreal Canadiens organization as they change general managers mid-season. Today's episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. Watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right. My pleasure right now to welcome back a familiar face to longtime listeners of the Monday edition of the Locked On NHL podcast, the host of Locked On LA Kings, Sarah Avampato. And Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm so glad to talk about biting.
I'm sorry. I wish you were here under more enjoyable circumstances, but obviously Brendan Lemieux ejected over the weekend in a game for biting Brady Tkachuk of the Senators during a fight. He is now scheduled to have an in-person hearing for this incident. And first of all, you know, you saw it. Tell me what's going on here.
I mean, this is Brendan Lemieux at his finest, is this moment right here. You know, he's a player who the Kings acquired him to, you know, be a little bit gritty, to be that sort of pesky player. And for the most part, since he's joined the Kings, he's played on the right side of the line. And even in the past couple of games, you know, he's been scoring goals. His line has looked really good. And you're like, okay. Like, I wasn't particularly in favor of the trade when they did it, but I was like, all right, like, he's contributing. He's a good bottom six guy. And then this happens. And you're like, okay, no, he really is who I thought he was. And the whole thing started because Brady Tkachuk and someone else from the Senators kind of hit one of the Kings players, I think, after the whistle or after he got rid of the puck. And Lemieux, being the guy on the team who does this, went after him. You know, I don't like you pushing around my teammate. And then it just devolved from there. And I guess that they also have a history together when Lemieux was still on the Rangers. I believe that they got into some nonsense when he was still out there. So it's just continuing beef. And it's just, I can't believe I've had to expend so much energy on doing podcasts where I'm like, we do not bite other human beings, but here we are.
What is that book? Everything I Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten or something like that.
He needs to read that.
Yeah, I think so. You know, mom said, don't bite. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Okay. He's going for the in-person hearing. That usually means a longer suspension or a more, you know, more than a fine when you go in person. Where do you see this going?
I mean, my guess would be in the sort of 5 to 7 range. I don't know that he qualifies as repeat offender, but he certainly has a reputation, which I'm sure is going to be taken into account in doing this. They can hand him whatever suspension they want, and I will have no complaints about it. Like, this was just immature. You know, I know that his reasoning was that he was saying in the game that Tkachuk poked him in the eye, which is also bad. Like, don't poke people in the eye either. But two wrongs don't make a right. Don't bite someone. This isn't hard. And, you know, the whole situation just spiraled out of control very quickly. And yeah, I would expect at least 5. I think more than 10 would be, you know, I don't know. Like, is there even a past history of suspensions for biting? Like, there's no precedent on this one to try to gauge how long he's going to be out. But no complaints here. I immediately was like, this should be a thing player safety looks at. And thankfully on this one, they actually made the right call.
Now the Kings did win the hockey game 4-2, ended a losing streak. So that had to be good. What happened during this losing streak that was problematic, and what was different against Ottawa besides the caliber of the opponent?
Yeah, I think that in this losing streak, what we saw was a lot of the Kings playing to their opponent. Like, they were letting the opponent dictate the pace of the game. For example, they lost to the Coyotes in a game that they should not have lost. It went to overtime because reasons. And you could see that the Kings weren't playing their game. They were letting Arizona dictate everything about the game. And so, you know, the Kings are still kind of finding their identity. They don't really know who they are as a team yet, which makes it hard to play consistently the same way every game. And so that's really what we saw, was them getting away from what they know they do well and just sort of mass confusion. Guys didn't know what they were doing and it just didn't look good. I think that this game, it was just the caliber of the opponent. I think that had they played this game against a better team, I don't think they would have won it. But, you know, credit to Ottawa's goalie, Philip Gustafson was great. I think the Kings put something like 40 shot or 30 some shots on him, and he was great in net. But I don't think we would have had the same result had it been, you know, the Capitals or something that we were playing.
So you said this is a team that is yet to find its identity. After watching them for the first roughly 20 games of the season, what do you feel their identity should be?
You know, I think that they have enough young kind of puck moving players that they, you know, have the ability to be more creative on offense. It doesn't just have to be the dump and chase that we're kind of used to seeing and that they turn back to whenever they're struggling. We have guys who move the puck, who get the puck to the net, especially some of the younger defensemen. And I think they need to look more at that. And, you know, this is a team that Todd McClellan's message when he talks about them is if we want the puck, and if we don't have the puck, we're going to do everything we can to get it back. And so, you know, that heavy forecheck is something that's been lacking in a lot of these games that they've lost. But that's really, if they get back to playing the way that we know that they can, we're going to see a lot more of that, you know, puck retrieval and doing everything they can to make life hard on the opponent.
Yeah, that's always a good way to play. How about the goaltending? I mean, it seems to be a little bit on the inconsistent side right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been very odd. Jonathan Quick is absolutely having a resurgence in net. It's like he had one off-season surgery and now found the fountain of youth, and you know, has people, someone legitimately was suggesting Jonathan Quick for Team USA for the Olympics, which I don't think they should be doing, but his numbers are amazing. He's in the top of goalies in the league, and it's not like he's only played a couple games. The plan for this year has always been kind of a 1A, 1B situation with Cal Peterson and have them rotate games. And, you know, when one guy's hot, you just keep playing him. But Peterson has struggled. I don't know, you know, I'm looking forward to digging more into what's going on with him. I don't know if it's mental, if it's the pressure of knowing that, you know, the starting job is his to take, but he's been struggling a little bit. So, you know, I'm hoping that at least getting that win over Ottawa will get him back on the right path. But it's been a weird year for goaltending.
How much will it mean to this team if and when Drew Doughty comes back?
Yeah, that's going to be a really great move for the Kings. There have been defensemen having to play way more minutes than they should have been because Doughty has been out. The good thing is it's given some of the young guys a chance to get their feet wet in the NHL and to see what they have. But, you know, it's going to shake things up for the better. And, as you know, assuming that he is back to what we expect from Drew Doughty and that he isn't kind of hampered by his injury still, it's going to make the blue line better. And, hopefully get the power play making a little more goals and less frustration.
Makes sense. Sarah, why don't you let our listeners and viewers know where they could find you on social media and where they could find the podcast?
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter at Right Said Sarah, where I'm mostly shouting about why you shouldn't bite people. You can find Locked On Kings on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings, where I also am shouting about how you shouldn't bite people. The show is, of course, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah Avampato, not the president of the Bela Lugosi fan club. Thank you so much for joining us today. Always great to have you back on the show.
Yep.
Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. It's here, the best Monday of the year, Cyber Monday. And Built.com is the place to aim your mouse. Get at least 20% off everything delicious and healthy. That's 20% off site-wide and even bigger discounts on Built Boost, Broth, and Built Swag. A brand new Built Bar flavors landed just in time for Cyber Monday, Caramel Almond Delight. And it delivers everything it promises. Caramelized chocolate, check. Almonds, check. Delightful, double check. Be sure to get yours before they're gone. Just 150 calories and 17 grams of protein. And this season, maybe you're craving white chocolate. For a limited time, get a special new Built Bar Puffs flavor, white chocolate cheesecake. The yummy protein treat is filled with a marshmallowy center covered in white chocolate, only 140 calories and 17 grams of protein in every bar. Tis the season to save and to give your taste buds the gift of Built Bar. Get to Built.com for these incredible tasting new bars and 20% off everything. Head to Built.com, enter code LOCKED20 before it's too late. This episode is also brought to you by your friends at BetOnline. It's Thanksgiving and we all know what that means, football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. So just for listening to the Locked On NHL show and using the promo code LOCKEDON, you will get free money to bet at betonline.ag, that 50% welcome bonus. And it's not just football. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, and even your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, welcome back to the Locked On NHL podcast. So glad you could join us, and thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Right now, it's my pleasure to welcome in the co-host of the Locked On Sharks podcast. He is Eklund approved and ready to go. JD Young. JD, how are you today? Great to have you here.
Doing well. Can't complain right now. So yeah, I'm glad that I was not banned after my last appearance on the national show. So.
Let's start with this nice win for the Sharks last night. More of the same, I guess, in a lot of games, in the fact that their best player was their goaltender.
Yeah, it's something that's been a long time since you could say that about the Sharks, where their goaltending has been their best part of the team. You know, they've struggled to score goals. Timo Meier led the way with 2 goals, and he's been absolutely on fire to start the season. But James Reimer has, you know, he came in to be the backup to Aiden Hill, and he is outright just taken the crease away from Aiden Hill. And the way he's playing right now, you can't argue with the results. You know, a shutout here. I mean, he got pulled against the Leafs, but that was more of a message to the rest of the team because they were just playing poorly. But you could argue he's been their best player, and I wouldn't call you crazy so far this season. So,
yeah, no, he has been a very big surprise and one of the reasons that the Sharks are in the thick of the playoff hunt right now, in spite of everything that's happened to them this year. One of those things, obviously, the Evander Kane situation, their leading scorer from a year ago, and the Sharks placed him on waivers. I'm assuming this means that's the end of the line for Kane in San Jose.
Yeah, so they placed him on waivers. I would be honestly shocked if anybody claimed him, but I mean, you guys will know more by the time you probably hear this. But so he'll be reporting to the San Jose Barracuda. His agents already come out and said that they're happy to report to the Barracuda. It seems like that they're working on a trade as well. Kane does have a three-team no trade list or whatever, but I think in this situation, both parties would be happy to kind of start fresh from here. But there is a report that an Eastern Conference team is kind of digging into it right now. The Sharks have also said that they'd be willing to retain salary for the next, half his salary for the next 4 years, because he's got 4 years, $28 million left on his contract. But I don't know what the Sharks would have to do to potentially sweeten the deal. I've heard a first round pick, which doesn't seem like a very smart thing, especially for a team that's retooling right now. And those, first round picks, especially in this year's very deep draft class, seems like a bad idea to attach to that. So for now, though, it seems like Kane's going to go to the Barracuda and play down there with all the children right now. And they'll kind of, my guess would be he doesn't get back on the Sharks at all this season, and they'll kind of either buy him out or see what happens this offseason. So,
as far as the trade goes, do you have any idea who that Eastern Conference team may be?
All we've heard is it's not the Rangers. But I mean, you could look for any team that's trying to add. I mean, just talking about his on ice, he's a very capable player who, is going to instantly boost your top six. He definitely, last year he was easily the Sharks' best player. He cut down on his penalties, was, a force in front of the net. But again, there's just so much. And this isn't the first time with Kane. He got run out of Buffalo. He got run out of Winnipeg. Like, this is just, it's the same kind of thing with him. And there's just so, it's just, it seems like every time you're done with one story, another one kind of crops up with him. So, I think it's just whatever team is willing to kind of risk it all to try to win this year. So, I don't know if maybe like the Hurricanes, who just kind of come to mind with after signing Tony DeAngelo this offseason, they adding Kane to that team would just be the kind of cherry on top if you're trying to look for a Stanley Cup contender. But I think it has to be a veteran laden team that's trying to win the cup right now would be my suggestion for that. So,
yeah, I mean, my Islanders come to mind when you say that description, even though, this start to the season hasn't been what they had in mind. But they certainly could use the scoring punch. The question is whether or not they'd be willing to take on that personality.
Yeah, and it's, you hear the whispers and rumors that he isn't very well liked in the locker room. Like Tomas Hertl is probably one of the most beloved players in Sharks history. And when he's basically just like, you have to trade this guy or get rid of me. And just all the other players have been kind of saying like, wow, this is the most fun we've had to start the season. This is great. We should keep playing like this. It sends a message to the one guy who's not there that, I think we're better off without you, even though you could help us on the ice. You're just not worth it.
Sharks now on a five-game road trip. They started off with the win in Chicago. How important is this road trip to keeping this team in contention for a playoff spot?
It's very important because this is kind of, they're starting to ease into a little bit of the softer part of their schedule. They've had, two long road trips to begin with this season. And then, they've played some really tough competition so far, and they've hung around against some of these teams. But the December schedule does kind of even up. I think they play like 9 games at home or like 9 or 10 games in the state of California. So it's against some much lesser competitions like your Vancouver's of the world. But, it'd be nice to come out of here with, 3-2, potentially 4-1. And then that really kind of throws you back into the playoff race, especially in a Pacific division that's kind of been a lot better than most people expected, myself included. So,
what is the key for this team as far as, they are a little inconsistent. You're on a bit of a winning streak right now, or 3 out of 4. But, when this team does what, do they mostly win hockey games? What is the key to their success?
It's actually their team defense, which is something that has struggled the past couple of years. When they're able to kind of keep teams from shooting front of the net, you know, keeping those high danger chances down. That's when you see them have their most success. And then the jump from Martin Jones to James Reimer this year, where you just have not just competent goaltending, but actually like really good goaltending. You can see that with a team where they're just not having to like so worry about making that backbreaking mistake. And then Martin Jones just lets you down. And, you know, I think that their team defense really, really is the key to it and how they're able to play as a unit. They still struggle with like their transition games and getting hemmed in, but like when they're able to limit the other team from taking those high danger chances, and then guys like Timo Meier, Tomas Hertl, Logan Couture, if they're leading the offense, that's been their key to success. And whenever they get some sort of depth scoring, that's when you see those like 5-6 goal nights from the Sharks, like they had against the Senators the other night.
Is there enough depth goal scoring from on this team without Kane?
To make a serious run, no. To squeak into the playoffs, maybe. I mean, you're looking, you know, Timo, Hertl, and Couture all on pace for 30 goal seasons right now. Dahlin has, you know, already 7 goals as a rookie and probably could have 10 right now if he a couple that got robbed by just, you know, Hellebuck doing Hellebuck type things. But yeah, they're going to be interesting at the trade deadline if they're really want to make the playoffs, if they're going to be a contender, or if they want to like try to add pieces. Or there's a lot of, you know, big names out there. Like they could trade Tomas Hertl, and he's probably the belle of the ball at the trade deadline and get an absolute haul for him. So they're going to be interesting to see. I think this December is going to be really important to how the Sharks' future, not just short term, but their long term future is, depending on how December goes.
Yeah, should be very interesting. And JD, why don't you tell our listeners and our viewers where they can find you on social media and where they could find your podcast?
You can find me at my Fryhole on Twitter, where I post all the fire memes. William Eklund approved and followed, so take that, everyone else. But you can find the podcast Locked on Sharks at all social medias. You can also find us wherever you get your podcast, so Apple, Stitcher, et cetera, and on YouTube. We're chugging away towards 450 subscribers, so make sure you guys follow us along there. We've been posting some of our old interviews as well, too, on YouTube, so good times there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, JD, so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Gil, for having me, and I hope we'll make it 3 times.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NHL podcast. Want to thank our guests, Laura Sabo of Locked On Canadiens, Sarah Avampato of Locked On Kings, and JD Young of Locked On Sharks. Want to thank you again for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On Bets. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. It's free and available on all platforms. I'm Gil Martin. You could hear me on the Locked On Islanders podcast every Monday through Friday, and I am the Monday host of the Locked On NHL podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Stay safe, and thanks for listening to the Locked On NHL podcast.